morning. It's Sunday, April 24th.
Lord, we ask for your blessing on the service today. We ask that your spirit would flow, that it would touch where it needs to touch, Lord. Lord, if there be needs, if there be healing, if there be discouragement, Lord, we ask, oh Jesus, that your spirit would just flow in all of those things, and where there is a need for you, that you would respond to those needs, Lord. And Lord, that there would be light that shines on your word, that your anointing would be on our tongue, your anointing would be on our ears, so that we would receive your truth. Lord, that we would leave with more of your truth today by your spirit. Amen.
We come to the conclusion that truth is what God meant by what he said. And we have a lot of voices that try to describe what God meant that have not a clue. And at times I have been one of those voices. I appreciate Charlie and Ken, Corky and Pablo and others and Glenn that are not bashful to speak out. And that was very good yesterday. All of you guys, very good. And it says in 1 Corinthians 14 is the only format that I'm aware of where we have some things in the Old Testament where the glory came out of in the temple and the people were singing and so on and so forth. But I think that in the 14th chapter of Acts, First Corinthians. I think that that's possibly the only place that it tells us I'm not even sure where it said here.
It's in there.
But I don't know of any other place that even said anything like this. When it says, how is it? What verse is it? When you come together.
Talking about when the whole church comes together?
Yeah.
That's 23.
I think there's a verse that says, how is it? When you come together, what is this, what is that?
26.
Are you in 14?
Yeah. How is it then, brethren, when ye come together, every one of you hath the song, hath the doctrine, hath the tongue, hath the revelation, hath an interpretation.
I was having a little trouble because I was in the wrong chapter.
Yeah.
I was going to say, it sounded like you were, because you weren't finding it.
But anyway, one of the things that's vital is that we develop the ability to speak up. You can't really be saying much in church if you can't talk. or if you're afraid to.
Yeah, that's
and
so good.
These guys have developed a boldness, and I'm glad. I'm glad that you have it, because that's kind of the necessary thing for us to have.
Well, I'd sure shut up if you didn't let me talk to you. And that's what would be what goes on most Sundays in this country.
In the church, yeah. Yeah, it says when you come together, everyone has something. And then it says, see, we have not understood the ministry of a prophecy, and prophecy can be in several different areas. But in the 1 Corinthians 14, prophecy is revelation of the scriptures. So,
mm-hmm.
If something be revealed to another one that's in there, let the first hold his peace and let this guy speak to prophecy.
I love that we consider that to be something that's going to happen here.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah.
You know, most, prophesy, that's for the 2,000 years ago. That's a, you know, but I love it that that's what's going to happen.
I got a scripture. I had two verses. I read before and I read after, and I could have spoken about everything before and after, like, for days. So I'm going to read the whole thing. Not the whole thing. But, okay, anyways, here I go. Isaiah 55. Isaiah 55, and I'm going to start. And I'm going to start in verse 6. It says, okay, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he's near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him. And to our God, he will have abundantly pardoned. Abundantly pardoned. I mean, the people don't know this, that our God will abundantly pardon. That's not even what it was. I'm going to skip what I wanted to get to, actually. For as the rain comes down, I'm going to go back to 10. For as the rain comes down on the snow from heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth, and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. So,
Lord.
You know,
Lord, yes.
I will like to elaborate on this, but it will be a week. It's so good. Anyway, what I wanted to share today is verse 8 and 9. I think it's important that we live in this and meditate and understand it. For my thoughts, this is God speaking, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, Nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For if the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. So, God, see, we have a today Sunday, tomorrow's Monday, then it's Tuesday, it's Wednesday. And, you know, my name is Pablo, and I'm going to have breakfast, that's dinner. God has none of that. There's no today or tomorrow. God's ways are past our ways. We think that we know what's good for us. And so I think it's a scripture that says God had to humble himself to put his word in writing. And that is humbling. It is very humbling. You know, the power that created heaven and earth is to be put in letters, you know. All that to say, now John, the Gospel of John, from the study of the red letters. Okay, so Jesus answered and said to him, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now Nicodemus is going to speak here. Nicodemus says, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Now, Nicodemus, he's not a bad person. He's not evil. He's not wrong. I said, every one of us would have said something to Jesus all this about being born again, because we are earthly. To be born means to come out of a woman. I mean, how can anybody think differently? You know what I mean? Trillions and trillions of people have been born on earth through a woman, you know. And now Jesus says you got to be born again. So obviously, so somehow I got to get inside my mother's womb and come out. The reason is because Nicodemus, again, he's not evil. He's just earthly. That's all he's got to work with. He's an earthly man. He thinks earthly. And there's nothing wrong with that, because we are earthly. You know what I mean? That's just how it is. So Jesus had mercy on him, and on us, and he said, Jesus answered, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said it to you. It's like, don't use your earthly ways. Do not marvel that I said it to you. You must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, and cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. After Jesus explained, or went further into this, Nicodemus again. Nicodemus answered and said to him, how can these things be? And I'm right with Nicodemus, if it wasn't for the things that Jesus has shown me lately. Jesus, seriously, please elaborate. How is this? Okay. You know what I mean? 2,000 years ago, I would not be very good friends with Jesus. I wouldn't. I would have to ask him so many questions, and I would have been angry. And God had mercy, and he let me born today, and gave me this book that I can read and have time, so I can understand. You know what I mean? I would have crucified Jesus with everybody else. I would have. You know? So Jesus says, are you a teacher of Israel and you do not know these things? Most assuredly I say to you, we speak what we know and testify what we have seen, and you do not receive our witness. If I have told you earthly things and you do not believe, how will you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended to heaven but he who comes down from heaven. So Jesus is saying, what I just read, I speak earthly, I also speak heavenly. Okay? So earthly is like, you know, follow me, that's earthly, but we understand follow me. And even the things he did, some things he did are heavenly, some things are earthly, but he's speaking about what he did, of what he said. But for example, I mean, Jesus, you know, blessed are the poor. Okay, we understand that. We know what a blessing is. We know what the poor is. Blessed are the poor. No problem. It's earthly. It's from heaven, but it's earthly. We can use our earthly comprehensive ways to understand that. We can understand it earthly. But immediately Jesus goes, not earthly, and he goes heavenly. Why do I say that? Because through my earthly understanding and my earthly learnings, I can comprehend this. No one has ascended to heaven but he who came down from heaven, that is the Son of Man, who is in heaven. And as Moses is lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must be the Son of Man lifted up, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Blah, blah, blah. So the scriptures, according to this thing that Jesus says, I speak heavenly and I also speak earthly. There's heavenly things that we cannot process with our earthly things. For another example, I remember Keith telling me about a church he went to, or that he preached at, that they could not accept the virgin birth. They just could not accept it. Why not? Well, because I can prove to you that everyone that comes to earth, I can't prove it, but you know that everyone that is born on earth is born by a seed and an egg or whatever. Everyone. That's my earthly, I know that. Science, I have kids, I was a kid once. And there's 7 billion people on earth. 7 billion people die every day, or 7 billion people are born every day, really, you know, say that number or whatever. So how many people have been born on every day? In this way, by conception, or a man and a woman. And now there's somebody saying that Jesus, that Mary had a kid, a virgin. You know, that's heavenly. Your earthly ways are not capable of comprehending this. Now, because I have been born of the Spirit, I can believe. I believe, and I know you believe, that Mary was a virgin, and that she conceived a baby by the Holy Spirit. I believe that. But the only reason why I believe it is because I have been born of the Spirit, and I am understanding heavenly things. That's as heavenly as it gets. It's as heavenly as it gets. But there's other things that Jesus spoke of that do not blend with earthly understanding and how we manage things. You know, God says, my ways are higher than your ways. For example, you know, Jesus, he walked on water. That's earthly. You know, it's amazing and a miracle, but we got Jesus, and we know walking, and we know water. So we get that. He walked on water. That's just, now whether you believe it or not, but that's earthly. You know, but there's other things that are heaven, you know what, and I'm gonna read one, because if I read them all, we'd never get out of here. But you guys know it. You know them all. John 17. I have manifested your name to the men whom you've given me out of the world. They were yours. You gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Blah, blah. So how is this? What man is he talking about? Let's say the disciples. So they were God's. Then God gave it to him. And then he kept them and gave them your word. That's as heavenly as it gets.
Yes.
How do you do this with your earthly brain? How do you do this with your Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday ways of understanding things? You can't. You can't. And that's why there's so much, I don't know, that's why. I believe that between churches and within churches, There's division because of this very reason. Because there's heavenly things in this world that people are trying to help. They're not. They're trying to put these heavenly things that are trying to make them earthly. And if you do that, it's dynamite to the word of God. It's dynamite. You destroy it. It's worthless. It's as worthless as it gets. You know, you cannot take a heavenly thing, something heavenly, that only the Holy Spirit can reveal to you and change it to earthly or even try to comprehend it in an earthly way. We can't. We cannot do that. So we got these scriptures. You know what? They make no sense whatsoever. So now what?
Mm-hmm.
What do we do? Where do we go from there? We don't go nowhere. We just accept it. This is a heavenly saying. It does not make sense to our English vocabulary. It does not make sense to everything I have ever known. But it's just true. It that's just it. It's true. It is true. Like they were yours, you gave them to me, and so forth. There's no words to explain that. But by being born of the Spirit, now you know, now you can accept it. You can't understand it, how it works. You accept it. And that's how we accept the rest of the scriptures. We have to accept them, know their truth. You know, God's ways are past our ways. His understanding, he's way over there, we're way over here. And anyways, he humbled himself so we can put this in word, just so we have access to it. But I am thankful that I have been born of the Spirit, or being born of the Spirit. I am thankful. Because if I would have been born 2,000 years ago, whatever, I would have been so angry at Jesus, at everything he said. I would have nailed him to the cross myself, because I would have not known. I didn't have the tools that I have today to understand what he's saying and what he's trying to do. You know what I mean? But I have no shame saying that I would have crucified him, because I did it, because God did not put me there 2,000 years ago. You know, he put me here today. That's why I used to believe, you know what? Oh, if I would have been on earth when Jesus was on earth. How amazing. Mm-hmm. How amazing. No. That's why Jesus, so we would have seen it. But Jesus says, you have seen and you believe. That's great that you've seen and you believe. But blessed are you that don't see and believe. And I understand my blessing. We are blessed that we did not live 2,000 years ago.
I think that the whole thing of being born again has gotten totally watered down. People don't really stop and think what it is. And you're being born from your Father who is Spirit. Which puts you, the minute that happens, you're in a whole different realm. Because you're under him now. And his Spirit, it says, ends up living in you. So that's a big distinction. And a lot of you know, they're, oh yeah, born again, got your sins forgiven. No, it's way more than that. You're connected to the Father of all things, you know. So it's not just some little thing you do. It's what starts your spiritual life. It's what starts you to the kingdom in the end. And so when I think about that, I've really, in the last year or two, have just really come to appreciate that I was given the chance to have that happen, you know,
amen.
And that he brought it about, and all of you. And I got a little scripture setting I'd like to share that I thought of during the week. I was thinking about the celebration of life, and I kind of thought about reading this, and then no, it wouldn't be appropriate because it's kind of talking to us more than anybody. But I just started thinking lately, I don't know what it is, about the whole idea of why people keep coming here that don't fellowship here. You know? And I think that's why I couldn't help but say it. It wasn't me, it was a spirit that said, you know, yeah, we're not fellowshipping necessarily together, all of us, because I was speaking to all those that have been here before, but we're still brothers and sisters in the Lord. And that can mean something down the road, you know. So I was in 1 Peter. This is right after where it explains how women should be and how men should be, and I'm not going to go into any of that. Anyway. So, verse 8, and I'm going to read like a few verses here. So, this is where I think God's bringing us. Finally, all of you be of one mind, having compassion for one another. Love as brothers, be tender-hearted, be courteous, not returning evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, blessing, knowing that you were called to this, that you may inherit a blessing. For he who would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. And who is he who will harm you if you become followers of what is good? But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you are blessed, and do not be afraid of their threats nor be troubled. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear, having a good conscience, that when they defame you as evildoers, those who revile your good conduct in Christ may be ashamed. For it is better, if it is the will of God, to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. And I'll remind, how many times have we in our groups mentioned that God has taken us away from judging? See, that's the beginning of all this, of being changed.
Yes.
You know, we speak like we don't want to speak evil. We don't want to talk about somebody in a wrong way. And we don't want to judge. And we want to love more. That's all in here. You know? And I believe that's what he's done here. And it's in the process of going on, you know? So, like, read that once in a while and just say, yeah, that's what, some of that is me. And I want more of it to be me. You know, mm-hmm. Or you. Okay. I mean, each of you say that for mm-hmm. yourself. But and that's where I've seen so many changes in everyone. It's just the whole idea of not judging that's really a big deal. Mm-hmm. And I think some of that is why some of them people keep coming here for things.
So, sure.
You know?
Sure, sure.
I think they can just feel now that there's not a judgment.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Everybody was right and everybody was wrong mm-hmm. in all the years past, you know. So it's like, why devour each other or whatever, you know. Let's just come together whenever we can. And, you know, hopefully, maybe some will trickle back. But that's not the point. You know, it's in God's big scheme. We're still all family. Whoever mm-hmm. wants to be this is going to be that family, you know.
Amen. Yeah. God doesn't count attendance at a church, God counts souls. And it doesn't matter where those souls come from.
Yep.
And so if we keep our eyes on the bigger picture, which is not how it impacts us and our little church or our little gathering, but it impacts the heavens, that's what he's really after.
And everything there that Pablo brought is that's the whole thing, is distinguishing between common and spirit, you know. Okay. I can't remember the word you used.
Earthly.
Yeah, earthly and spiritual. That's the whole. And that's what being born again starts. It starts making the separation. It starts letting the word of God be revealed to you. That's funny how many times we've heard that song, but that last one that got played more, and Word of God speaks. And I'm telling you, and you know it, the Word of God has spoken to us. And it's going to do a lot more. We aren't done. You know, we're a long ways from done. But the Word of God has spoken. Mm-hmm. And it says, Word of God speak. And it does. It speaks. It speaks to your spirit.
I often look at that song as a request from us for asking God to let the Word of God continue to speak.
Right. Exactly.
I mean, it has spoken, and we have gotten things, but we want to keep saying, keep speaking to us.
Yes.
Keep revealing yourself. Keep letting the Holy Spirit work and reveal your word. Because we know all the letters, but we don't know what the Spirit is in those letters.
Yeah.
And that's what we're looking for.
I visited a little bit with Linda Diedrichsen here yesterday. And, oh my, what she had to say about the connectedness of us all through all the years would be just identical to what we would say. She knew it, and anticipated that there will be a time, you know, when the time is right, anticipated that will we'll be together again. We've said that a number of times. It was interesting to have her say the same thing.
Yeah, that is interesting.
I realized yesterday how much I miss the spirits of those that are not here with us right now. I miss them.
Yeah.
And I love them.
Yeah.
And it's so easy to connect with them when I see them, because we are one still.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It was a good time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yep. Candy mentioned a person, and it was a clip. So engaging. Mm-hmm. He just, every time I see him, he just wants to know where I'm at, what I'm doing, whatever. Just, you know, and it's I feel it's sincere. It's not trying to pick at and find out, you know. It's a sincere desire to know where you're at, you know.
Yeah.
You know, just a good spirit.
Yeah. He was one of the last ones that I talked to, but he was just, first of all, I must have seen him 100 pounds ago, I guess. And then it was just, and how are you doing? I mean, it was the most engaging, whatever, and I just, you know, yeah.
Vicki wants me to do her funeral.
Well, Vicki and Julie said that they would be honored to if I passed before them, that they would like to sing that song at my funeral. They said, well, never measure up to what you did, but we would love if you would let us do that. And
you know, those of us who've been fellowshipping with or having conversations with those that used to attend on a more regular basis, have been very consistent in saying that they recognize the spirit that we are trying to foster here. And as we said, I don't think any of us judge them, which is what I think their concern may be. But the one thing that they've said quite often is they all recognize the body ministry approach that we take to finding God as something they all really wish they could do more of, be part of. And, you know, and we've chatted about it. If you have 300 people, it's hard to have what happens here with the congregation at large. So I've often wondered if we're as big as we need to be in order for God to move. At the same time, it allows us to develop the Spirit with us, within us that we can project to others when they see us. So, I think we're going along, and if we're diligently seeking, God will make it happen, however it happens. But there are things that we can do.
I'm thinking about the scripture that he opened up with, is all of us, since way back when, and all of them, they experience the, how is it, brethren, when you come together and you've got this and that and this and that, you all have this and that, and they all experience that. And in different places that they've gone to, that experience, it didn't make us better, but they got used to. Is John right here? Wanted to get up there for 45 minutes? Well, or Joe Hack and the humming. You know, it was a freedom. It was body ministry. It was so they were accustomed to that. And I've heard over the years from several of them or the children, they missed the chapel songs and they missed being able to just get up. Pauline Hayes has been in multiple churches. She missed just getting up and start shouting in tongues. You missed that. And it was something I think that was easy to take for granted because when I was younger, before I had visited any other churches, I thought everybody was like my mom, yelling out in tongues and spitting out Tic Tacs. You know, I thought that was just a natural occurrence at all. You know, that was common for me. So then as I have been different places and things, so that's foreign. That's foreign to me. So now anybody that's left what we were used to, that's foreign. It's foreign that you can't just get up and share a great testimony of what God's done. Mm-hmm. And just one person's in charge of it. Your job is just to open the door and be the greeter. And clean the bathrooms.
I can honestly say I've never been under the delusion that there are a lot of people like your mother.
Okay, but besides my mother, we had Pauline Hayes. You know, I mean, there was... I mean, we were singing or preaching, and all of a sudden, yes, shut up! You know, we got loud tongues.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
That was just... That's what you do. That happened at Walmart even. So, right. Oh, yeah.
And
yeah.
More than once.
Yeah. So, it's... But I have heard from their children and the different ones that they're just like, you know, in all the churches I've been to, I sure miss getting up to just give a testimony.
Yeah. You know, I've heard from, you know, some, and they are like, you have to write it down, present it to the pastor, and they have to review it, and then maybe next week you can bring it.
And then by that next week, that testimony,
yeah,
something bad happened, and that testimony is nothing
right.
to them. And whereas if they would have been able to share it, it would have been an encouragement,
right.
and then the seed would have been sowed or encouragement testimony to seven other people, you know, because any of
right.
us can testify today something good and exciting. And then in the week, something burning has found. But that we were able to give it out, it encouraged some different things or stirred some things up inside of us or, you know.
Well, right. I mean, if your mom had a tongue of their interpretation, and we would have said, okay, you got to wait. Mm-hmm. She would have been, what? This is for now.
Yeah.
You know.
When the anointing is there.
Yeah.
It's there.
Yeah.
It's there.
It's there.
And it won't come again in another week necessarily.
Yeah.
Or you give the enemy a week to, as Candy said, to scroll through.
Yeah, I think that I often think that I have a bad heart, like because I get weird things or whatever. But I think you know what? I've been shocked, let's say, sitting next to my mother, mm-hmm. and all of a sudden it was like shut up, and I was okay, you know, and it just would come, and she would tell, you know, later she would ask. You know, like what all did the Lord say? Because she would tell me that it felt like a waterfall, like a spout, like it would just come, and she wouldn't even know what she was saying.
Right.
And, you know, and her Kleenexes were tucked in her sleeve, and they were flying, and then her Tic Tacs, and she just was going on and on. And then when she was, and it took a lot of her energy,
mm-hmm.
and she would get done, and she would say, "It's like the weirdest thing." Yeah,
it's everything within you.
Yeah,
hmm.
yeah. I know I've experienced
mm-hmm.
at times not as strong or as much as
I have also in my times of praying for specific people, kids in my shower,
something where all of a sudden I literally, I'm speaking words or something in prayer in tongues that it comes over me so strong, I literally feel like I could just be swept up. You know, and then life happens in mundane and whatever.
All your
but I know those are
unknown.
Yeah, yeah.
It just has to.
Mm-hmm.
There has to be a freedom for the Spirit to move. Otherwise, it's still men's interpretation or clarification or perfection or earthly understanding. And that's why things are spoke the way they were, that having ears don't actually hear or understand. And it says not to walk by your own understanding.
Yeah. One thing I found so astonishing is that there is such universal, oh, I think it was so wonderful, you know, from people that have been here at one time. Oh, so wonderful. Well, they aren't here. Now, what's with that? What's going on there? But I believe that's from heaven. I believe that's, you know, the time has not come yet, and there is a restraint now that will be released when the time is right. I remember Warren Wellborn being at a meeting. We had some business with Warren here at a men's meeting one time, and are sharing what's been going on in our church. And oh boy, we were not of one accord. We were not of one accord. I just felt it so strongly. Not of one accord. But then we were talking, you know, what we could anticipate in the future. Woo-hoo, we were of one accord then. My, we were just fully together on that thing. And it suggested to me, the time is not now, but it is coming.
I have two dreams, visions still. I shared the one a couple months ago or whatever about when I came that one night and I was dancing in front of the church. And I just, you know, I couldn't keep doing it in my front yard when I mowed the grass because Sue Claire, I was giving her too much entertainment. But I was kind of breaking the song and dance while I was mowing my grass. But I came one night and I turned on my music and I just was dancing here. And then I all of a sudden, I don't know what it was. I wasn't dreaming, obviously. But all of a sudden I looked out and that's when I saw all the faces. I recognized more, but there I could see this and some heads and some like this. And it was not judgment. It was just different faces of everybody that had once been here. All were something different and some, you know, and I just looked out and I just started praying for every single one of them. No judgment, forgiveness, happiness, joy, fill them, Lord, whatever. And kind of one by one, I would kind of see a head or kind of some twisted look that, you know, and all of a sudden I would just see not everybody's head came up. I didn't see the ones that didn't. You know, I couldn't even name everybody. But it was literally the weirdest experience that I had in here. And I wasn't thinking about nobody. I was just dancing. And it just literally, I saw them all. And it was just one by one. They were kind of like popping up like a fair game. You know, a game of fair. And it was so, to me, it was like, I just wanted to pray over all of them. Maybe none of them will end up back in these pews. But I wanted to pray over all of them. Because I could feel their spirits were here. Even if they were dampened or they're not dampened, just because they left doesn't mean that they're all dampened spirits. It didn't matter. I just wanted to, like, not me bless them, but ask God's blessing over every one of them. And that if they all were with us in fellowship, that's great. But those that are yearning for heaven, whatever, we will be when we all get to heaven. And we all get to heaven. And so it was just like the greatest thing, but I did have a dream a few years ago also about something else that in our church up there, somebody had set it on fire, it burnt down, and by the next morning it was rebuilt and I saw all these faces. And that was a very vivid, wild dream. I think I had it in 2020. Mm-hmm. But regardless, I pray that we're all in heaven with them again and we recognize the spirits and whatever. But there's a connection there. There's a connection, a forever connection, you know. And I pray for each one of them, like I said, regardless that they don't have to sit in these pews. But it sure would be nice that they did.
That true love casts out all fear thing that is so, like, sticks to me. And just enjoying seeing people as a different person. I'm not the same person that they knew as a child. And Luta, like, thinks they're still loving me and interacting with me. I didn't really enjoy being a child either. Or, you know, those phases in my life. I think it's really awesome. And seeing the love in all of us and that is developing so freely and giving that freely. I think a lot of things that keep people even from going to church is that fear of judgment or interacting with anyone. When you see somebody at the store, you're like, oh, but I think they judge this thing about me or this thing or whatever. And that kind of restrains. And the devil uses that to minister and keep a separation there. But as that love flows and we all give that free love and they feel it, I feel like that's what kind of brings that body back together and resists those judgment spirits and kind of casts them out. And pulls down those strongholds.
Yes. It's
probably kind of a training for us because of the new people that might come in.
Maybe so. Maybe so.
We're training now.
Well, and if we're called to love, and that is truly what Jesus wants out of us, and that mercy and that understanding of changing his heavenly things to earthly and understanding exactly what this word and this word and this word and this word means. But letting him flow and live in that spirit and in the joy and finding happiness here too and hope here because we know where we're going. And trust that promise wholeheartedly that these things don't matter. It says just after where you had stopped reading that because Jesus had partaken in the suffering, he was able to be the mediator. So then we are able to also suffer. And glory that if we suffer in the flesh, because then we are no longer living in the flesh, but letting God's will, because our flesh is weak, and the lusts of the flesh is what make us suffer. Our flesh is weak. But if we find the joy in that, in mercy, and give that love anyway, glory. That's where the Spirit is. And that's where we're living, that when this thing fails me, I'm still living. Graduation day rather than horrible day.
Good.
You know, the reason why whoever's been here in the past and they're not here today, for them to be here today is not for us to say, oh, they're here today, they're good. It's
that's
not
right.
Either.
That is right.
They could, nobody could be here and they could be 100 miles closer to heaven. So.
That is right. Yeah.
I love you guys. I love my church. But we are not the scale of where you are in the spirit.
No.
Mm-hmm. No.
No. Okay, so you know that.
No, yeah. No, yeah. To me, it's more of there's a deep connection for 100 years. I've told Pablo, 5 days a week I was in the learning center. And then I was here Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, Friday night. And then all the other nights in between them we had church. So there was, it's like a family. I don't consider us that we were just a normal church. We were a family. It was a family. My friends were my sisters. You know, I mean, it was, I know it felt weird, but we were a tight-knit family. And so it's almost like losing, it's not just you losing a church member. And I don't gauge, I personally, because I know what I've done and been through, I don't gauge, I can't judge where any specific people are. I was just going to name names, but not that was dumb. But, you know, I mean, I can't. No, I'm saying just for an example, but I don't want to do that.
No,
but
no.
I can't gauge where any of those people. I have no idea. You know, I'm just saying it would be fun to be able to once again worship, sing, dance, pray, shout, cry with those same spirit or those same people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, although we are also people are also a creature of habit.
Mm-hmm.
So I believe that I could have that same wonderfulness with Josh and Jill and Doug. You know, it's just,
yeah,
I'm more comfortable with what I know.
But
Pablo's right, though. No, it doesn't have to be here for them to be in the right place. And yet, as family is, Candy was saying, there is a family.
Mm-hmm.
Family.
Mm-hmm.
And when, yeah, it doesn't mean that other families are bad. This is the only good family.
Mm-hmm.
But, hey, if it's family, then
like
it's family.
Broken. There's been a break. Each one that left, it was like another break off of the family.
Right.
It feels, you know.
Right.
How many of the books in the Bible are letters to someone saying, okay, I thank my God upon every thinking of you, and that my joy, I hear of your faith, and, you know, my joy is full
right.
because I know where you are. And so that love flowing thing, not necessarily being a here, but an understanding of love that casts out all that judgment and those tortures and those things, that he says that he's the head of the body of Christ, and we're all part of the body, and all of the uncomely parts and the other parts, and we have no right to say he needs this or he doesn't. And just like the Spirit has flowed and given interpretation or truth here, he can do the same in everybody else at any other point. But how glorious for our mindset to get to the point of any time we think of any of those people or of anything, that thank you, God, thank you for this person, thank you for this interaction, that joyful place every time we think of them, that's a glorious change in everybody, and that breeds that spirit rather than any of those condemnations or any things like that, and that's a glorious work.
Yes.
I think with being the youngest pastor's daughter, being here the longest, there's many that I missed more than others. Corky's shocked, I know. But some I probably didn't miss. I was like, some, to be honest. Mm-hmm. However, as I've gotten older, and now that I'm very old, God showed me some years back some different people that I needed to forgive.
Sure.
And I didn't realize that it was unforgiveness. For me, it was justification.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they left and they didn't. They said this and they didn't like that, both my dad and my mom. And therefore, I'm justified by not looking at them in Walmart. Although the person that I am, I like all people and I like to hug other people. So I'm sure I've hugged a lot of them that left that were like, don't hug me, but I still hug them. And it's been a freeing thing the last number of years of the ones that I was glad they left. No, I still would like to see them. Fellowship again. It doesn't have to be on Sunday morning, but just the fellowship. And there were some deep-seated ones I really had to forgive. And in my heart, I believe that I have truly forgiven them for not just for me. I mean, there was a lot of things that were spoken about me that were not true. A lot that were true. But not just me, but just who my parents were. It takes on a thing. You know, or just the church in general. You take it on as that's your guard. And I letting go of that has been very freeing. And for my sake, for my forgiveness, if I want anything of the Lord, I have to
mm-hmm.
forgive them or whatever. And so to me, it's like the one I had to super, super forgive, and then the one I was really sad that they left, I love them the same because I have to. You know, it's a requirement. And
I think a lot has to do with where God wants them to be. Does he want them here? Does he want them out ministering in the world somewhere else?
Mm-hmm.
And I remember a testimony that we should not expect to always remain the same.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know who gave it, but they saw us. There's a beginning place for people. Begin to learn and then go out and minister. And I don't know who, and it's been years ago, but I think that's probably what's happened. People have left because God wanted them to do something else.
Sure could be. Sure could be.
So who are we to judge what God wants them to do?
Amen.
But they are still in my heart, like you say.
My earthly mind just really wants them all back here, Mark.
That's why we have to separate the flesh from the spirit.
Right. That's why we have to test every spirit and discern our thoughts. And
You know, us human or earthly, whatever, you know, we always want to have what we used to have. You know, we don't know, man, it would be nice to have that we used to have. But we need to give God more credit for the good things that he can do. You know, he's not limited to what we know or what it could be.
He is a God of restoration, though.
Yep.
He is a God of restoration. Mm-hmm. And what we're talking about this morning, I believe, is restoration. And so, no, you're absolutely right. Mm-hmm. He's a God of new things, mm-hmm. but he's a God of restoration.
Mm-hmm. Well, we've talked about it in a couple different ways. On one hand, we certainly, familiarity of what we know and enjoy and love, we certainly want to relive that. On the other hand, we certainly don't want to turn away from new man. So it's that act between this is good and this is fun and I enjoy versus is this new? Is this what God wants me to be doing now? Mm-hmm. And that balance. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think it'd be great to have everyone get together, but it doesn't mean that should be our spiritual direction. Mm-hmm. We'll let God be in charge of that. And as it's been kind of brought up, he'll do that. Mm-hmm. I feel that we've pounded on a little bit today, but people seem to enjoy coming back here because they sense that we have grown and we're not the same judging people that we used to be. And everybody here used to be very good at judging. And we're not, we've grown past that. Thank the Lord. And so once people feel that they're not being judged, they're more open. The more open to continue the fellowship. And I think that's what we've demonstrated. We've got to give God that glory because that has been the new man that's come to us through his spirit. So.
Mm-hmm. I think it's kind of strange that we have to conquer all joy when we suffer for Christ. Or I mean, think about that.
Yeah,
we should
be joyful when we have to suffer.
Yeah, we are.
That's right.
The more we suffer, the more glory.
Equal partakers in the suffering, and I just keep thinking, I'm not nailed to a cross right now.
I think we learned something through that somehow, but it's like, you know, we're all different. So we're
yeah. Great suffering is for righteousness. Mm-hmm.
I want to grow. Mm-hmm. I still think about those people in Ukraine.
Yeah.
Like they're going through. And
yeah, right. Suffering, huh?
Yeah. Yeah.
Love you all.